Right. So, this is probably going to come across as a stupid thing to do. It's going to probably come off as an unnecessary thing. First, I apologise if you can hear a clock ticking in the background. The clock is as loud as fuck, so I do apologise for that. I just want to make things clear. What I'm about to do isn't supposed to be let's shit on this person, let's shit on that person, let's shit on whoever. It's not meant to come across as a fucking, like, shoot or whatever. Just use a bit of wrestling terminology there. It's basically just to get my side of the story out there. And I am going to leave some details out, such as the people's names, because I don't want to cause any unnecessary shit for people. Which a lot of people have said I shouldn't be worried about doing, considering they seem to have went out their way to cause me a lot of shit. Now, the only reason I'm doing this is because in the past, say, 6 weeks or so, there's been a lot of people talking to us about this and the events I'm about to discuss. One of which involved somebody who I don't know very well coming into my place of work and bringing this up and saying that this person had said this about us, had said that about us. It wasn't just little white lies either. It's stuff that could really kind of fuck my life up. Like, it's, you know, I will come back to all of this. I'm just kind of explaining why I'm going to tell my side of the story now. So, to, I guess, start at the beginning, my best mate, last year, had a few problems going on, involving a relationship. I'm not going to go into all that because it's not my place to talk about that. It's between the two people that the relationship, that was in the relationship. The relationship ended in like May of last year, I believe it was. My best friend at the time went through a lot of shit. I saw this person at their very worst. I saw this person do a lot of shit, which again I'm not going to discuss here, because there's an, for legal reasons, yeah, let's just leave it at that. But through all this going on, I became close to somebody else, and going back to, I'd say about January of this year, I never really spent much time with this person. I'd just kind of seen this person in passing, just as I was walking through my local village, as I was, like, on the bus, whatever. You know, I'd maybe had a handful of conversations at most. Going back to earlier this year, though, I started to spend quite a bit of time with this person who lives pretty fucking close to us, to be fair. And we got close because of all the shit that went on, and, like, it was two people that were kind of unfortunately involved in it, and we were able to talk to each other about it, and that's how we kind of became good friends, you know. We were, like, we ended up, like, going to the metro centre, going to town, going for walks, just all over the place. We were out and about, I would say, every single day that I wasn't in work, and that didn't fall on a Saturday or Sunday. The reason that I'd never seen this person on the weekends is because this person is married now. Our husband knew that we were out and about because there was nothing going on. We were just friends. But obviously, because our husband works long hours at the weekend, she's going to spend all that time with him, which I completely understand. Like I say, we were spending quite a bit of time together. We were in pretty much constant communication over like whether it was Facebook Messenger or texting or phone calls. Like, you know, we'd be in touch with each other pretty early in the morning. Pretty much as soon as I'd say from about 9:30 onwards in the mornings, we'd be in touch. And like I said, we would spend a lot of time together. We got on really well together. For two people that have nothing in common, we did get on really well together. Interesting, I'm not always saying that person, and I will do this a lot. I do apologise. I'm going to go on a little sidebar here. I'm going to, anybody that knows I'm a big fucking CM Punk fan, so people are going to laugh at this and call us a fucking mark or whatever, but I'm going to refer to her as AJ. Now, the reason that I'm going to refer to her as AJ is because this person was aware of the fact I was a big CM Punk fan. Didn't want to use the word obsession there. was aware of the fact I was a big CM Punk fan. I would talk about him, I would show her videos of Punk promos, Punk matches, etc. And she also pointed out that if anything it would happen between us, and if we were to get married, that her initials would be AJ. Of course, I popped because, you know, like, hey, it's the name of CM Punk's wife, hey. So yeah, let's just call her AJ. I'm not referring to her as this person, that person, because it's going to get confusing. There's a lot of names that, like I said, I don't want to drop any names on here, because of, like, legal things going on between certain people, and I don't want to cause any stress for AJ's family. You know, there is a kid involved in this. I don't want to kind of cause any unnecessary hassle for the child, or for anybody else for that matter. So yeah, we were spending like a lot of time together, and I was at hers quite a bit, she was at mine quite a bit. Whether it was waiting inside for us, as like we were waiting to go somewhere, or waiting outside for us as I was getting ready to go somewhere, whatever. And there was one day where she was waiting outside, and she was talking to my dad, and I was doing something or other. Like, we left, we did whatever we were doing that day. We probably went for food somewhere. We did that a lot. And then when I got back home on that particular evening, I was told that AJ had said to my dad that she wasn't going to come to my dad's gig that he was doing at a local pub, because I didn't want to go. Now, just to kind of let everyone know, my dad's a drummer in a band. He gigs almost every weekend. They do 50s rock and roll music, which I didn't think would be her sort of music, to be fair. And it, you know, like, firstly, again, I'm not going to ask a married woman to go for drinks, because I know how that can look, you know. But after hearing that she wasn't going because I wasn't going, I'd sent her a message, and I was like, look, like, what's the crack here? Like, I've been told that you're not going to this gig because I'm not going. Like, we've never discussed it. Like, did you want to go? And I got a message back that was saying, like, oh, like, well, we just haven't been for drinks. I thought maybe you know, it would be fun to kind of go for drinks. And I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough. Like if obviously your husband doesn't mind, like, yeah, we'll do it, sort of thing, you know. I am going to jump around a lot in this because there's so many details that I, you know, that I'm trying to remember and things, so I'm just going to keep coming back to this. I do apologise if this isn't completely in order. But again, just to reiterate, the reason I'm doing this is to tell my side of the story for no other reason than, and I wouldn't be doing this if my side of the story wasn't true. You know, a lot of people close to us know that I don't lie. I don't like my honesty being called into question. I'm not a liar. I do have all the proof, or at least a lot of proof, to back up what I'm saying. Whether it be it text messages, Facebook messages, WhatsApp messages, picture messages. I don't delete anything. I'm not going off any notes here, so I should have probably made a list of notes and dates and everything, so I could kind of like put it into a timeline for you and kind of tell you exactly when this happened. So it like I said, it is just rough. It's to tell my side of the story. If anything was to come of it, like I said, I do have all the information with all the dates, etc. I've just not made a note of it. I'm not like telling a story from a book. I'm just going off the top of my head. You know, so, again, like, over the next week or so, we're just out and about. There's been, like, a lot of flirty banter between us at this point. Nothing more than that. I didn't expect anything more, you know, like, it's just, like, the kind of person she was, and then, like, because she was that way, I was kind of playing up to it. You know, and as everybody does, I guess, I'm the type of person that in banter, I like to outdo people, you know, yeah, whatever. So, we're at this gig in, as I see my dad's playing the band, it's his band playing. We're sat at a table. On this table was my mum, my sister, my sister's boyfriend, myself, and obviously AJ. Like I say, there are pictures of us at this gig as well, so again, I can back everything up. And we're at this gig, and obviously we're drinking, and it gets to a certain point in, and I say, that I'm gonna go for a piss, and, or that I need a piss, sorry. And she kind of, like, grabs us by the crotch and is like, no, you don't, which I laughed at because I love making movie references or TV references, whatever. I'll probably make quite a few during this. I felt like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers, if anybody's familiar with that movie. Again, I'm just trying to make light of the situation because at the end of this, you will hear that it's pretty fucked up. Yeah. So that happened again. I didn't think anything of it. I just seen it as flirty banter, you know. She then shows us our mobile phone. On our mobile phone, on the screen at the time, there's a naked photograph of herself. And I kind of like, well, I'm a bit taken out. Oh, like, why is she showing us this? Like, yeah, like, I'm gonna openly admit, I was attracted to her, yeah. I never told her that. At the time, she was not aware of this. So she shows us this, the night goes on, she says she's gonna be sick, the toilets in this pub are up a flight of stairs. No, it was not a Wetherspoons, just before anyone drops that. So I say I'm gonna follow her upstairs and wait outside the toilet. Obviously, with it being up a flight of stairs, she's pretty drunk in case she falls and hurts herself. She comes out of the toilet. I walk back down the stairs with her. She sits down at the table again, and she's there maybe about 5 seconds. And she starts to feel herself be sick again, so she runs outside. She sits down, she starts being sick. I'm sat with her, holding her hair back. We're sat outside, maybe about 10 or 15 minutes. My dad sees this, because at this point the gig is finished. My dad's starting to pack his gear away, and we're pretty much sitting right in front of the car that my dad's loading all of his gear into. He asks what's wrong. I just say, oh, look, she's being sick. As soon as she can stand, I'm going to take her home. So a couple of more minutes pass. She stands up. She starts to walk towards home. Now, I start going with her. At this point, I get a phone call off my mum, who's in the bus. You know, she's left her bag and her jacket. And I said, look, just take it home. She can pick it up tomorrow. Like I say, we live pretty close, or whenever. And my mum's like, no, we're going to come out now. We're going to catch up to you, because it might look bad if you take her to the back door and she's in that state, considering she's married. At least if she's with more people, our husband will know nothing's went on. And I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough, you know. So they come out, we're walking through Wickham. At this point, AJ can barely stand. We end up behind, I believe it's classes of the square. I should know this, I've lived here all my life. Between a chip shop and a curry house, it's like kind of a back alley sort of thing. Like I say, everybody's there. And this is where things start to go from bad to worse. This is really long, I do apologise. It's going to be a lot longer. What happens is, anyone that knows, I wear pretty baggy clothes, t-shirts, jeans, you know. I do wear a belt on my jeans, so sometimes a belt can come loosened slightly. I've got to tighten it. If it's not tight, my jeans will start to fall down a bit. Now, as I'm trying to carry AJ home, my jeans start to come down, so I put her down to start pulling my jeans up. As I'm trying to put her down, I say out loud, my pants are coming down. She says yes and starts pulling at my pants. So at this point, my sister, who is behind us with her boyfriend, my sister starts trying to pull my pants up, which is a weird sentence to even say. So she's also trying to pull my pants up as AJ is trying to pull my pants down. My mum is buckled. She's laughing. She thinks this is hilarious. AJ then gets up and tells my mum that she's going to take us behind this wall. And I don't know what word was used here. I thought she said, and have a way with your son. Somebody else that was there has said that she told my mum she was going to take us behind a wall and fuck me. She claimed that she'd said she was going to take us behind a wall and rape us. I'm not sure exactly what was said. Obviously, we were all drinking, but it was one of them three things. As I say, like, I'm not going to be dishonest about anything. If I don't know for definite something that's said or hasn't been said, I'm not going to say that. So she says that. We get her home. We do not go behind a wall, just so we're clear. We get her home. Again, this is a Friday night. On the Saturday morning, my mum, myself, and my sister get a group message from her. That says, I'm sorry for the way I went on, it was ridiculous, blah, 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 like, my family just laugh it off, you know, like, whatever, like, everyone goes mental after they've had a drink, it's fine, like, don't think anything of it, you know. They were really nice about it. I got a separate message, saying that, like, she remembered trying to take my pants off. She remembered telling my mum what she was going to do to us. So again, for somebody that was drunk to the point of not being able to stand up. Not quite sure how she remembers everything that was said. I always thought that was a bit weird. I believe this gig, again, just to put in a timeline, happened around about February, I want to say. I apologise if that's incorrect. I should probably look all this shit up. So this happens. As I say, I didn't see her on weekends. So Saturday, Sunday go by, I don't see her. On the Monday, we end up again out and about together. We're down the Metro Centre, wherever we were, whatever we were doing. Again, probably going for food. So we were out and about, and we're obviously talking about the events of the gig and what had happened. Now, what I essentially say to her is that she can't be happy in our relationship, because why would anybody that's happy in their relationship do what she did? Shows the pictures, you know, try to, in her words, have a way with us, whatever. She was saying, oh, it's just because she was drunk. Again, unless you're happy even after a drink, there's not many people that goes on that way, you know. As I say, she was my mate. I was like, okay. I says, look, and this is where I kind of admit things. I at this point, I do tell her that I'm into her. And I says, you must know that, right? She says, oh, no, like, I didn't know. I was like, well, like, because of the banter, that I thought it was pretty obvious. She's like, no, like, I'm pretty useless for picking up on that sort of shit. Whatever. We end up back at her house, and as we get there, there's two parcels came through the door. And again, like, this is kind of an abridged version of the story. Like, this story that I'm telling you now took place over the span of about 5 months. There is a lot of stuff that happened that I'm not going to go into detail about, because it's not massively important. A couple of things were things like we were in a McDonald's in the Metro Centre, and one of her dad's friends was there, and as her dad's friend got up to go and get a food or whatever, she was leaning over a table, and she'd said it was, if I bend over this table now, how hard would your fuckers? This was in the middle of McDonald's, like this is just to kind of put the banter, in quotation marks, into perspective. That's kind of, it was pretty intense, flirty banter. There was a lot said. I've got the worst memory in the world. I do, for short-term memory, I do keep losing my place, which, so if there's any long pause, that's why. We're back at hers on the Monday, after the gig, and there's two parcels turned up. She'd ordered two parcels, with one parcel turned up, and she said, this parcel is either her hen party t-shirt or the hen party t-shirt for our husband's mam, because our husband's mam and dad are not together anymore. His mam, our husband's mam, was due to be getting remarried, and a hen party was coming up. A hen party was in towards the end of April, I believe. Maybe early May. Again, I should have probably worked all these dates out. She wanted to make sure that the t-shirt was the right size, and she said, oh, I'm going to have to try this t-shirt on. So, in front of us, she takes a shirt off. She is wearing a bra, just so we're clear. But still, it's a bit, you know, like, I was even shocked at this. At this point, I was like, well, so, like, this is, like, come on, like, I've just kind of confessed to you today that I'm into you. What happened at the gig happened. This is now, it's a bit weird. You know, like there was more flirt. She tried the shirt on, except I took it off, put her normal clothes back on. We were talking, there was a bit more banter. And I was going on about the picture that she showed us in the bar, you know. And I thought, you know what, I'll try my luck. I asked her to send us the photo that she showed us, which she did send us. I still have this for proof, by the way. I've not kept it for any other reason than proof. And at the end, I'll explain why I've kept it. So she says that, and then she said, oh, like, I don't know why you're so bothered about the photo anyway. It's not that bad, like there's a lot worse. So of course I prod and I say what do you mean? And she then tells us the story of this calendar that she'd made for her husband a couple of years ago. And again, just so you know, this is true. How would I know about this calendar if this didn't happen? You know, because I know somebody that hears this will be close to her. Somebody will be aware of this calendar. How would I know about this calendar if it wasn't true? Just saying, you know. So she tells us of this calendar that shows her, in her words, some pretty explicit poses. And I hear the story of how she had to send these photos off to Vistaprint, I believe it was, to have the calendar made so everybody in Vistaprint would have seen all these explicit photos, including photos of her, like tied up, you know, in some pretty compromising positions, with various parts of her body on show. And I was like, well, show us it then. So she does, she goes and gets this calendar and shows us it. And again, for proof that I've seen this calendar and I've not just heard a story about it, I actually have a photo on my phone from this calendar. I use my phone to take a photograph of the calendar. And this photo is her in a schoolgirl outfit, obviously. Again, just so we're clear, she was not a schoolgirl, just wearing the costume, I guess, as a way to kind of spice things up with her husband, you know. She was obviously of legal age because, like I said, this went off to Vistaprint, etc., you know. In a schoolgirl outfit, legs spread open, everything on show. No underwear, just so we're clear. So that was kind of a big turning point in the friendship, where I'm like, well, she wouldn't be doing this stuff if there wasn't a bit more. Over the course of the next, say, a few weeks or so, there's a lot of flirty banter again backwards and forwards. She does send us a few more pictures of herself over this time. I think in total she maybe sent us about 10 photos. Again, I still have all these, and I will explain the reason that I've got all these at the end of this. So she was sent us that. Like I say, there was a lot of kind of banter. Nothing physically had happened between us. And then it gets to a day when we were out and about. Now, the plan for this day was, we were in town in the morning. It was a Thursday. She used to refer to Thursdays as Thirsty Thursdays. I'm not quite sure why. This was the Thursday before his mum's hen party. His mum's hen party was taking place on a Saturday. So, as I say, the Thursday before the hen party, the plan for the morning, we were going to have a couple of drinks in town. And on the afternoon, we were going to go and pick her sister's eldest child up, and take her to the Metro Centre, buy her some food, I used to be really close to our sister. It kind of became, and our sister's partner, and a lot of the family, to be honest. So I kind of became like an unofficial uncle to both of our kids, especially the eldest one. And I said that I'd order was it a birthday or a Christmas present? I'd order a birthday present, so we were going to, birthday and Christmas present it might have been, so anyway, so we were going to take it down to Metro Center. I was going to buy a game for a new console that she just got for Christmas, a Nintendo Switch. So me and AJ are out and about through the day. We're in Five Swans in town. She has three or four double gins and lemonade in there. I have three or four double rum and cokes in there. Again, this may be about 2-1 o'clock in the afternoon that we start drinking, and we go through the drinks fairly quick. We don't get in any sort of unreasonable state. I can have about five and I'm still conscious, you know, like it takes quite a lot for me to become immobilized. She can keep up as well, at least at this point, so I thought, because her child was with her, who was in a buggy, asleep most of the time, just over a year old. So was always in the buggy, and did sleep a lot of the time. But obviously we weren't responsible. We were not gonna do anything to kind of make us look irresponsible around a child, you know, to outsiders. So we have a few drinks there. We then, because it was a nice day at this point, we decide we're gonna go down the quayside. So we have a drink in the Wetherspoons on the quayside, one or two in there. I believe the total, we finished on five doubles each. We then started to walk across the quayside because we had to go and get a bus to go and pick the eldest one up, as in her sister's eldest, pronouns Val. We had to go in there and pick her up, so we were walking across the quayside, and she said she needed a piss, so we went up this kind of old stone set of stairs. I don't know why she just didn't go back to the bar, and had a piss. I obviously looked away, but shielded her from anybody else that could have walked past. Everything was fine. We walk up the Central Station, we get on a bus from Central Station, going to Stanley. And now, I should probably put this disclaimer at the start. It does get graphic at this point. I'm not doing it. This isn't bragging rights. This isn't for any other reason than to tell my side of the story. And at the end, when I'm all said and done, you will understand why I've done this. At least I hope you'll understand. So we get on this bus, my hand is kind of like around our waist, and my hand ends up slipping down the back of our pants. Believe it or not, this was not done intentionally. It was the position of my hand. The bus jolted, my hand kind of shot down, and ended up, like I say, I was touching her ass, and she didn't seem to mind. She didn't complain about it. She actually said she wasn't bothered. So my hand just kind of remains there. We get off the bus in Stanley. There's a bit of a walk, not a long walk, but a few minutes to go to pick our sister's kid up. Now, on the way there, I'm kind of in shock at the fact that she's let us go pretty much this whole bus ride with my hand on her arse. And I'm like, I can't believe you've this has happened, really. Like, I mean, like what if I said I wanted to play with your boobs or something, you know? And she was like, oh, it's just a body part, I'm not bothered, play with them. So, at that point, I do, you know, because why the fuck not at this point? Like, she's clearly interested, otherwise she would not be doing this. That happens. I then say, like, fuck, like, what if I'd wanted to go downstairs, you know? Again, she said she wouldn't be bothered, so I did. That was that. We end up going to our sister's new place of accommodation, let's call it, in Stanley, to go and pick our kid up. We pick her up, all walking towards Stanley bus station to get a bus back down to the metro centre. At this point, it becomes apparent that AJ's sister is in work, who work in Stanley at a bar. So AJ was like, "Oh, we'll call in, we'll have a drink there." So we went in. Bar, it's a fucking shithole for anybody that's been drinking in Stanley. You'll be aware of that. Like, most places in Stanley are a fucking shithole. No offense to anybody that lives in Stanley, it's just the way it is. But in this bar, they don't do any sort of like named rum or named vodka or anything. It's all like house, you know, like the cheap shit, you know. Which I won't drink, like white rum, I'm not a fan of. I'm not a vodka fan. Plain gin, I'm not a fan of. You know, there wasn't a great deal for what to drink, but we do order a drink in there because obviously she's going to talk to her sister a little bit. Now, at this point, I've not seen her sister in maybe about 3 months, when we were out for a meal together in town. Before that, it was probably about 3 months again since I'd last seen her. For those of you that haven't already worked it out, our sister is the lass that I mentioned at the start of this that used to be my best mate. I essentially stopped seeing her, stopped spending any time with her, because I helped her out loads when our relationship ended, only to get shit on and for her to kind of lie and say that I was always there, she couldn't get rid of us, this sort of stuff, which isn't true. I have messages from her asking us if I'm going up after work. I've got a message of her asking us, like, where are you, after I've not seen her for a few weeks. And again, to everybody in question, I've shown them these messages to kind of clear my name in a sense and show that, you know, like none of what she's saying is true, because it painted me in a bad light. And that caused friction between me and her ex and me and her ex's family. So like I say, I was able to clear my name. Now everything between me and her ex, me and her ex's family, it's fucking great. You know, like there's no issues whatsoever. So again, it was just somebody trying to cause shit, for whatever reason, throw a supposed best mate under the bus. You know, so for that reason, like I said, I stopped seeing her. The story's not about her anyway. I don't want to really waste my breath talking about her. It's not what it's about. It's like I said, I didn't want this to become a let's shit on this person, let's shit on that person. It's not what I want to do. This story is about me and AJ. So yeah, we're in the bar with our sister, and we have a drink there. At this time, like I say, I become very aware that, hey, I've just had my hands down AJ's pants, and now I'm in a bar with her, talking to our sister, who was my former best mate. And I'm like, oh shit, I should probably wash my hands. So I do that. we get on a bus to go to the Metro Centre. Now, on the bus, me and AJ choose a seat. AJ's sister's child does, who I believe at the time was 7-year-old, doesn't want to sit with us, so she sits a few seats away, and she takes AJ's child with her as well, who, like I say, is at this point maybe about 1.5, and she's like sitting on a seat with her. So I'm talking to AJ on the bus, and I say to her, I can't believe what's happened today. Like, I can't believe you've let us do this, do that. Like, I can't believe you've let us finger you, essentially. And she's like, oh, you didn't really, you were just playing with my clit. Which is a weird, again, like, the why, when I've said that, why would you then say you haven't? It's kind of though, like, she was egging us on. So again, I went back downstairs. Like I say, there was, obviously we're not stupid, there was nobody around to see. This wasn't done where any of the kids could see. We're not stupid, you know, like, this was done. I also, on this occasion, I don't know exactly why I've had the piss taken out of me for this. I went in the front and back door on this occasion, to put it politely, I guess. We're in the Metro Centre, we go for food, I buy my sister's kid the game I said I was going to buy, you know, spend about £50 on that's that, you know, it is what it is. That's the end of that day. The following day is a Friday. I'm at work, so I don't see AJ on this day, but I am messaging her, and I'm saying, like, look, like, I hope, because obviously we were both drunk yesterday, I hope nothing, you don't regret anything that happened, like, I don't want to jeopardise our friendship. Again, I've got messages to back all this up. She assured me that she did not regret anything that happened, and that she was absolutely fine. Now at this point I'm thinking, well, we'll see, because tomorrow is Saturday, the day of his mum's hen party. Now after the hen party, the original plan was she was gonna come to a rock club in Newcastle. It's a rock night, I should say, called Rise, which is held at Grey's Club every Saturday night. Voted best club night in Newcastle. Just a little plug for the Rise guys there. Not that I expect anybody to listen to this. I don't, you know. I apologise for doing daft shit. It's, you know. Whatever. Just if loads of people do listen to it, you can, yeah, whatever. So that's the plan. She's going to come there. I was asking her for a while, is she going to come? She said she'll come if her brother and his girlfriend were going, because they would usually go there as well. Our brother in there and our girlfriend say that they're not going to turn up. So then I'm like, oh, well, are you still coming? And she's, to my surprise, she says yes. So on the Friday, when she's saying she's not regretting anything that happened the previous day on the Thursday, I'm like, well, we'll see, because if she is regretting it, she's not going to come out tomorrow, you know. She video chats us in the morning when she's going for the bus to go, because she was going to his mum's early on in the day, I believe around 11 o'clock in the morning, to start getting ready and that, and they were going out for a meal, I think at 3, and then they were going to be drinking from the meal finish, so probably from about 5 o'clock onwards, and I was worried as to how drunk AJ was going to get. Now, especially after the state I'd seen her at my dad's gig. So, I'm in communication with her through the day. She says she's not drunk, she's still coming out. It gets to about quarter to 11, I want to say, on the night. At this point, me and my mates are in the queue for Rise. I try ringing AJ to say where we are, and there's no answer. So I'm like, oh shit, like she's went home. That's the end of that. As I get my hand stamped to go through the door, she rings us and she says, right, the hen party is finished. I'm at the Black Garter. So I've got maybe about a five minute walk up to the Black Garter. So I tell my friends, look, go in. I'll go grab her and I'll come back and meet you. So I go up to the Black Garter. I get her. Again, she's not. Alternative when I say we don't have much in common, like she's not into the same sort of music as me, she's not really into like the same sort of movies, TV shows, etc. She's not what you would call alternative, she's pretty normal, normal looking, I should say. I guess just looks like, you know, like somebody that would be into like pop music, I guess. So I don't know how she's going to feel in Rise, because anyone that knows Rise, it's an alternative place. So we get there and she looks uncomfortable. So I'm just doing stupid shit like that to amuse myself and to amuse my mates that will hear this. So she looks uncomfortable. And I say to her, look, we don't have to stay. If you're uncomfortable, let me know and we'll go. So she says, okay, right. We get the drinks and I say, look, like, yes, it is an alternative club. However, the two rooms upstairs are more alternative. The outside bit, known as the terrace, which is where we spend most of the time, they play a variety of music. It can literally go from Metallica to the Friends theme to songs from Lion King, to like a wrestler's theme, to Madonna, to Spice Girls, to back to fucking AC/DC and Motorhead, etc. Like, they will play literally anything, you know. I believe the only rule of the terrace is nothing after the year 2000, so anything before the year 2000 is okay, regardless of the genre of music. Let them play rap out, let them play everything. So there's something for everybody. And the night goes on, the official Rise photographer comes around, gets a group photo of her. She then pulls the photographer aside for a photo of just me and her. Again, all these photos are still in existence. There are photos of me and her on my mobile phone that were just taken on the night out. Again, to back all this stuff up. It was a good night, you know. According to one of my mates, she told my mate that she, in Rise, that she wanted to kiss us. Now, there comes a point in the night where we're at the bar and we're getting drinks, and she tells me that we need to talk. So I say, okay, what about? She replies with us. And I'm like, okay, let's talk. She says, no, I don't want to talk after we've had a drink, because I don't want you to think I'm saying things just because I've had a drink. I was like, no, I can tell by the way you're talking that you're fairly sober. I've seen you drunk. I know you're not drunk. Like, I'm not drunk. Let's talk. So we sit down, we start talking. Now, she admits at this point that she's got feelings for us. In her words, she says, she didn't realise she was unhappy until she started spending time with me. And she says she never imagined anybody being able to make her as happy as I make her. However, she brings up the fact that she is married. And that's obviously a problem. And she doesn't kind of want to do anything to affect the child either. I point out that the longer she leaves stuff, the more damage it's going to do to the child as the child gets older. If a child's parents breaks up when they're young enough to not know what's going on, it's not going to affect them anywhere near as much if they were to break up when a child is old enough to understand, you know. I say to her, I say, look, like, I'm not asking for something to happen with overnight. I'm not saying we're going to be together overnight, but can you kind of tell us, or like, do you think we're going to be together in the future, whether that's 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, a year down the line? If you think we're going to be together, I said, I'm happy to sit and kind of wait around, because I do really like you. She then told me she didn't want me giving this up, as in going to Rise every weekend. I told her that I wouldn't really be giving anything up by not going to Rise. I would still make time to see my friends. I would maybe go to Rise once a month or so. I've never been a big party guy. I was straight edge for 10 years, didn't smoke, drink or do drugs. I started drinking because of AJ's sister, and because I was watching one of my best mates at the time slowly destroy herself. I wasn't able to deal with it, so I started drinking for that. We're sat there having this conversation, and like I said, I wouldn't really be giving anything up, you know, like, I didn't do it for 10 years, it's all fairly new to us. I'd much rather be sat at home watching, you know, like, binge watching something on Netflix, watching a movie, and having food with her, you know, it's the way I'd rather spend my time. And she's like, yeah, like, I do see we're being together within the next six months. And I'm like, right, okay, that's all I need to know. So we continue the night as normal. The night ends. Post Rise tradition for my group has been to go to McDonald's on Northumberland Street and order food. So we're sitting in there a bit, and everyone is sat on one table, me and her are sat on another table, just because there's no room to sit for us two to sit there. And there was a bit of an argument earlier on in the night. I don't remember what about. But when we're sitting at the table at McDonald's, this must now be between 4:30 and 5:00 in the morning. She sends us a text message saying, It's something fairly sloppy. It was like, oh, loads of love hearts. I should probably go up into my text messages so I can read these out. Again, I've got all this for proof, and I didn't want to gather a bunch of, in quotation marks, evidence in as though I'm reading from a script. I would just rather talk about the events as I remember them. But again, I do have all this. The people closest to me have seen this, so they know it. They know it's true. She then says, "I want you inside of me, like now." I believe all the exact words she used. She definitely 100% said, "I want you inside of me." On this night, again, just to go into a little more detail, only because it's something that was brought up. She was on a period. She then messages and says that, "I don't care what happens. You at least deserve a hand job tonight." Again, I don't think anything of it. You know, it could just be the drink talk, and I'm fully aware she's married. I'm also fully aware of the conversation we had earlier on in the night, where she's not happy. She knows I like her. She clearly likes me. Otherwise, this would not be happening. The plan was always for me and her to share a taxi back. There was a big group of people. I didn't want to get a six-seater back because I would have ended up paying the majority for I would have paid about £10 to get with to Wickham. And then because everyone else lived in a similar area up in Stanley, between the other four people, people that were going to be in the taxi, they would have paid maybe about £3 each, which I didn't think was fair. And because AJ literally lives across the road from me, we were always going to go back together. It makes sense, you know, because we live that close. Now, when I'm in town, I don't like getting a taxi from anywhere other than Central Station. The reason is because it adds a lot onto the price getting it from the centre of town. By the time they get through all the traffic lights, over the Tyne Bridge, etc., it's a lot easier to get a taxi from Central Station. For that taxi to go over the Redriff Bridge on the A1, boom, you're in Wickham. You know, costs less than a tenner, if you're lucky. You know, maybe a tenner on the dot, no more than that. So the plan was, we were going to walk to Central Station and get a taxi. We begin the walk, we're talking on the way down there, we get to Central Station. I say, right, we're here, I'm going to ring a taxi. She says, well, we're still busy talking. Do you not just want to walk home? And I'm like, yeah, we can do. However, I remind her that she's got a husband and a child in the house that she has to be back for. In to walk, or at this point it must be about 5:15 in the morning, maybe about 5:30, to walk home. It's probably going to take about 2.5 hours, maybe. She's like, yeah, it's fine. So we start walking home. We're going down Scotswood Road. We're talking quite a bit. I don't remember what about. I guess just about the situation involving us two. General shit. At this point, I'm feeling her up. That she then puts her hand down my pants and starts feeling me. And just to jump back to an important detail quickly, because this is going to be important later on. In Rise, she does tell one of my friends that we've touched each other. So just so you know, it's not me that's kind of going around telling everybody this. She did tell my friends herself. There also exists a picture of us two before anything had happened, of me lying in her bed with her, pretending to be asleep, with my shirt off. She took the photo herself and sent it to a sister's ex-sister-in-law, because she knows I'm close to her, and she thought it'd be funny. I then get AJ to send me the message so I can send it to my mate, because again, she sends it to people. Why can't I send it to people? I thought it was an amusing picture at the time. And again, I do apologise for this. Like I said, I just said I was going to jump around. The reason I ended up in our bed was we were on the phone talking that morning. Again, this is before the Thursday, this is before anything had happened between us. I believe it was the Monday before. We were having a conversation, and she was talking about how she wanted to end up in my bed, in how I'd once shared a bed with our sister. Obviously, I was fully clothed, as was her sister. You know, it was after a night out. Our sister was drunk. You know, like whatever. Again, don't want to talk about her. She then says, "Oh, like if I share a bed with your mind, I don't sleep with clothes on." And I was like, "What? So you're just gonna be in my bed naked next to us?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Right. So you tell me you've got no problem with lying in bed next to us when you've got no clothes on?" She says, "No." So I say, "What you're wearing right now?" She replies with her dressing gown. I'm like, "Well, I don't start working until 2. I don't have to start getting ready until 12:30. Do you want us to come round?" She says, "Yes." So we end up in our bed and we're just cuddling in that. No, she doesn't take her dressing gown off. Like I say, that's when that funny picture's taken. Anyway, back to Scotswood Road. So we're walking down Scotswood Road. I've got my hands all over her, not down her pants, as I say, because
because she was, it was that time of the month. She does have a Hans Damme pants. As she's doing it, I say to her, use your mouth, which she does. So that's a public blowjob on Scotswood Road. Just so I'm not missing anything out there.
Sorry, I'm just a bit thrown off there. The timer on the thing is reset to zero. I hope I haven't lost the first hour of this. I'll look for that at the end. So we get to the Scotswood Bridge. She then wants to go under the bridge. There's two people down there. She changes her mind. I don't know what her intention was for going under the bridge. She said it was because she'd seen a dead bird, which there was a dead bird there, but I don't know how she could have seen it from being on the bridge. Anyway, as we're walking back down the road, she gets a phone call of her husband. Obviously, he's concerned, asking where she is. She says, we went back to Blank's flat because they live close to town, and we're struggling to get a taxi, so we're just waiting for a taxi, you know. So, again, blatant lie pretty easily to her husband. Obviously, I don't blame her for lying at that point. You know, whatever. We end up in Wickham. We're in a field behind Wickham. The same thing that happened on Scotswood Road happens there as well. I don't need to spell it out for you. I've already said it. I tell her I want to be inside of her. She says she wants me inside of her, but can't be right now because of the time of the month. Again, I'm trying to be as polite as I can with this. I don't want to come off as disrespectful. Like I said, I'm just telling my side of the story, which is the truth. And as we're walking, obviously we're very conscious of time. Time's getting on. I'm like, right, I'll take you home. It's at this point that I realise that despite everything that's happened between, we've not kissed yet. So I kiss her. I probably picked the wrong time to kiss her, just after she's done what she's done to us. But I guess that's up for debate. she goes home. I go home. She messages me the following day saying, I had an absolutely epic night with you last night. I'm so pleased. I know where we understand. I'm so pleased. I know where we stand with each other. Again, I have these messages as well. I can back all of this up. I have no reason to lie about this. We're messaging quite a bit. This will be the Sunday. Again, I don't see her on the Sunday for reasons I've already said. She, when was the next time I seen her after this? Right, so I see her on the Monday, and she informs us that she's now going to have to tell her husband, which I'm all for. Obviously, I'm a bit taken aback because when we were talking on the Saturday, it was going to be, yeah, we'll be together in 6 months. Now it's because of what happened on the Saturday night / Sunday morning. It's now, I'm going to tell him we're going to be together pretty much straight away. So, obviously, like I say, I say, look, that's absolutely fine. I don't mind. Just do us a favour. Let us know before we tell him, so I can prepare myself, because obviously there's going to be some backlash coming my way. Obviously, it does take two. Just to reiterate, I'm not trying to save myself here, but I did not make the first move. Going back to the story about my dad's gig, it was then I knew she was interested. You know,
I did not make the first move. But yeah, like I was prepared for everything that was going to come my way. I just didn't want to get a random message one day and be like, oh, I've told them. Like, all I said was, let me know when you're going to tell them, just so I know. And she's like, oh, I nearly told him yesterday. It's getting to the point where I can't stand it when he's hugging us, because all I think of is, it's not you, you know. Which is a pretty deep thing to say, the fact she can't stand her husband hugging her, and she would rather it be me. She would rather it be me she was sleeping next to. Again, I've got a lot of messages sent from her. She says in messages that I make her extremely happy, that she doesn't want to be with him. So I can back this up. She then tells us that that her husband kissed her, which she tried to pull away from, but he ended up catching her, which at that point I kind of like, ugh, considering what she'd done to me just minutes before. So how does that one taste? Sorry, I fucking hate the guy. Again, I apologise for that, I don't want to shit on people, but at the end of this you'll understand why. We're out and about more on the Monday. Again, nothing's changed, we're very touchy-feely with each other. We're not drinking at this point, just to be clear, we are sober. We are kissing and that during the day. On the evening, we're going for a walk around Wickham, and she goes down on me again, completely sober this time, so it was not an isolated drunken incident. We were both in sound frame of mind this time. The following day is the Tuesday. I think I'm at work on the Tuesday. Maybe I've seen her a little bit in the afternoon, like between the hours of like 5 and 7. I don't remember, to be honest. Now this comes to the Wednesday, because this is a pretty big day. It's Wednesday now. I go along to hers early in the morning, as I was doing. She went and got showered, came out of the shower completely naked, got changed in front of me, you know, because at that point we were pretty much together, it was normal, you know. We'd obviously done stuff. She tells us that she's going to tell her husband tonight, as in on this Wednesday. So I'm like, right, okay, fair enough, like, I'm here for whatever you need it for, you know, like, I'll be there for whatever, I'll do whatever. It's not going to be easy, you know, whatever you need, I'm here. We're out and about during the day. We're in the local park, and she says, right, I'm going to phone my dad. Now, at this point, in her head, the plan was she was going to move back in with her dad for a bit, who lives in Lowfell, I believe. And she was going to be wanting me to spend, like, the nights with her. Now, at this point, there's a bit of a thing going on with that place of work. I used to work at the branch on the quayside. Being on the quayside, it was a bit of a trek for us to get into work. The opportunity came up for me to move to my local store. I'd had this opportunity before, I didn't want to do it. At this point, I'm so fed up with work. I'm not going to go into details, but it wasn't
I wasn't happy at work. So the plan was for me to move to my local store. I'd be working more days a week, but I'd be finishing earlier, so I could pretty much see her every day. However, because I was starting so early in the morning, when she mentioned the fact of going to her dad's and living at her dad's, I'd said, because your dad lives in Low Fell, I'm not going to be able to get from Low Fell to Wickham every morning for 6:30 without getting a taxi. And to do that every day, it's going to cost a fortune. Now, is it easier if I stay in the Quayside store? And she says, oh, I don't know that's up to you. And I said, well, no, it's not, because if we're going to be together, this now it impacts you. It's now about the both of us. And she says, oh, I don't know, it's your decision. Now, again, at the end of this, the reason that I've talked about this will come up. So, just to let you know, that has been discussed at this point. She's fully aware of it. So we're in the park, she phones her dad, she tells her dad she's not happy in her marriage, that she's found happiness elsewhere, obviously meaning me, that she's gonna leave her husband. Her dad does not react to the way that she thought he would react. Now, according to her, her dad has never really been a fan of her husband and has always kind of supported her when they've had arguments in the past and she's went and stayed his, etc. He's not meant to be a big fan of her husband, so she thought the reaction was going to be pretty positive. It was not, it was negative. I don't know what her dad said. I was not listening to the conversation. The conversation was not on loudspeaker. I just know from what she's told me. She told me that her dad had said to her that, I don't want your kid coming from a broken home. You's lot come from a broken home and look at the state that you's turned out, which I think is very harsh for a father to say to their child. And unfortunately for me, AJ is the type of person that listened to too much of what her dad said. She was very, very influenced by her dad. It was not to kind of shit on her or anything, but it was as though like she wasn't capable of making decisions by herself. Like, regardless of what she wanted to do, if her dad told her to do the opposite, she would go and do that just because it's what her dad told her to do. You know, it's one of them things. It's obviously, when this phone call ends, she's visibly upset. I'm comforting her. We'll go for a longer walk. We then sit down on a field. We start talking about stuff. Obviously, I'm not happy because I've heard what he's said to her. She's upset. You know, there's a person I really care about. I loved her, you know, and I was, you know, upset. I don't like seeing the people I care about upset, you know. We're talking, and she said, well, now I've got my dad, I still have to tell him, I mean, her husband. So, the plan was she was going to talk to her husband later on that night. She then gets a text message from her husband. I believe it was something about booking a holiday whilst he was at work. Obviously, the last thing she's wanting to do at this time is go on holiday with him. So she messaged him back saying, I'm not happy, we need to talk, or something to that effect. She did say that she wasn't happy and that they needed to talk. I don't know if it was as blunt as that, but that was kind of the gist of the message. By the time we get from the field to her house, there's been no response. I tell her, look, I think it's really weird, because if I had have gotten that message, I would have been straight on the phone. You know, I would have been concerned. I would have been saying, what do you mean you're not happy? You know, what's the matter? I said, I would probably ring him and ask why he hasn't responded to the message. So she does. She rings him. He answers the phone. I'm there whilst she's on the phone.
She then says, did you not get my message? He replies, no. So the message, for whatever reason, he didn't get. Now, at this point, she's up shit creek without a paddle, because obviously you don't want to tell somebody this over the phone. But now he's concerned, as he should be. So he's on the phone, he's saying, all right, like what's the crack? Like, she then tells him that she's not happy. It's too late. She's found happiness elsewhere. Again, it wasn't on loudspeaker. I don't know what he was saying. She then says, it's too late. I've kissed somebody else. I guess at this point he's saying, is it David? Is it David? Is it David? Because there was a concern from his part before it happened. So at the time we weren't lying. It was all innocent. There was a concern of his part of us two getting together. She says, yes, it's David. He hangs up on her. She's obviously really upset. I tell her to phone him back. She does. They have another conversation, and they're going to talk when he gets in from work. Again, this is a Wednesday. I stayed hers maybe about 15-20 more minutes, because she says she's going to go and try to have a lie down, because she's exhausted emotionally, which is understandable. I kiss her. I tell her I hope it's not the last time that I see her, that I get to spend time with her, that I get to kiss her. She says, I don't think it will be. Like, we're not going to be together after this. I say, right, look, when you've talked, just let us know what's happened. I just want to know if that you're okay. When he gets in from work, she messages saying, again, it's just so I'm only telling you this so I can back this up, that he's left the house. I hope he's not coming to yours. He then immediately turns back up to her house. So she messages and be like, never mind, he's back. A few days go by. I think maybe on the Friday or the Saturday, I get a message of her saying, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to stay with him. Blah, 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 for the kid, for this, for that. I respond to her saying, I don't believe it's what you want. I don't believe anything's changed. As I say, the older you are, the older the child is, sorry, when you break up, because obviously at this point it's inevitable, it's going to be more damaging for her than if you were to break up now. She replies back saying, everything you've said is absolutely true. The way I feel about you hasn't changed. You know, it's obviously it's not nice to hear somebody wanting to be with you, but obviously because of what her dad had said to her, because that's the top and bottom of what changed her mind, because of what her dad said to her, we're now not going to be together. I ask her if we can talk. I believe it's the Monday we make plans to talk, or it might be the following Friday actually, or the following Wednesday. But regardless, we end up talking on the Monday, because she phones me early Monday morning. She's not doing anything. I have time to kill before work. Obviously, I don't want to go through a work week with this playing on my mind. I'm extremely worried about her. We talk. I tell her I'm sorry. She says, sorry for what? I go and I kiss her. So she kisses me again. She tells me that she's told her husband everything, that his reaction was pretty calm, that he said, I'm not going to stop you from being mates. Now, this is where I am kind of going to shit on somebody for a little bit, because I don't believe that she told him the full story, and the reason I don't believe it is because I don't believe that any man is that much of a wet wipe. That any man that found out that his wife had sucked somebody else's dick, that he would just be like, oh, I'm not going to stop you being mates, you know, and be pretty calm about it. Like, if that was 99% of men, they'd be fucking raging, you know, they'd probably throw her out, they'd come looking for me, and try to kick my head in, as I would if I was in his shoes, you know, which is what I completely expected. So I got pretty annoyed at the fact that he wasn't more wound up. Like, in my mind, I'm like, what sort of man is this? You know, like no wonder she went looking friggin' elsewhere. If this is the way he goes on. Again, I apologise, because it's not about shitting on people. But she complained about how whenever he got in from work, all he wanted to do was sit and play his Xbox. He didn't want to spend any time with her. I treat her right. I wanted to be with her all the time. I put her before anything else in my life. Whether it be a games console, because yes, I am a gamer, before whatever, like, I always put her first, which is, I believe, the way that women should be treated. She told me a story about how he'd once thrown a glass at her. Again, our own sister doesn't believe this to be true. There is a chunk missing out the wall, which I've seen from where the glass allegedly hit. Obviously, I believed her word, because why wouldn't I? You know, I had no reason not to at this point. So at this point, I'm obviously not a fan of my husband. I don't think he's much of a man. In my world, you don't throw glasses at women. You don't mistreat women. You don't shout at women. You don't go home to your wife and play your Xbox. Especially when there's a kid there as well, you're sitting here with your family. That's what being a man is, you know. Anyway. So she tells us everything that was had allegedly happened between them two during these few days where I didn't see her. I say to her, we can stop seeing each other. She doesn't want that to happen, because she's admitted at this point she still wants to be with us. But she doesn't want to, like, have an affair. But she doesn't want things to stop happening either. So, like, the only option at this point is for things to continue the way they were continuing, as friends. However, on this day, before I leave to go and get ready for work, I do test the water. Like I said, I'd already kissed her at this point. So after she's allegedly confessed everything to her husband, she's again kissed another man. At this point, I test the water again. I go downstairs. I'm going to be pretty graphic about this, just to kind of put things into perspective. I'm there for about 30 seconds. There's a bang in our kitchen. I guess our kid's in the kitchen. The kid's knocked something over. So she gets up to go and do that. My fingers are now white. Let's just leave it at that. So I go in the kitchen to wash my hands. It's all fucked up. I'm fully aware of this. It's not easy. I leave. For the next few weeks, things continue as they are, as mates. There's a couple of kisses here and there. There isn't much happens between us. There is times over the next few weeks where she kind of goes dark and doesn't reply to messages for a few days and that. So one of these times I get quite upset thinking that she's just cut me off. And I want a drink. It's my day off work. Most of my mates are in work. So I contact, stupidly of me, the one person that I know would be up for a drink. The one person that I know could keep up with me, because I've seen the way she drinks, and that's her sister who I used to be best mates with. So I contact her. I end up in Stanley on a
day drinking session with her. I tell her the full story up to this point that I've just explained on this audio recording now. Again, I refer to her as AJ because I don't want to throw in that it's her sister. We end up back at her house. I get a bit upset in front of her. She's like, "What's the matter? I've never seen you this way before. Like, I can't believe you're this upset." Her new fella gives me a lift home. That's the end of that. A day or two later, I'm on the phone to AJ for the first time in a few days. I ask her why she hasn't been replying. She says, "Oh, I've just wanted time to myself." I was like, "That's absolutely fine, but rather than me going out my mind worrying about you, can you please just let us know?" And she's like, "Yeah, okay, I'm sorry." And I say, "Well, look, can I come and talk to you? I've done something stupid." So I go, she says, "Yes." I go to her house, I talk to her, I tell her that I went day drinking with her sister, that we ended up in a state, that I told her the whole story. However, I did tell her that I left the name out, so she was not aware that it was our sister. Now, somewhere between all this, I'm walking the dog through Wickham. I get a message of her saying, "Are you at work?" I say, "No, I finished work at 3. I'm now walking Aussie. Is everything okay?" I ring her and she sounds really off on the phone, like as though she's not well. And she says, "Oh, I'm not well." And I'm like, "Great, I'm gonna come round. I'm 5 minutes away from yours. Whereabouts are you?" She says, I'm at the back door." So I'm like, "Right." I go around to her. She looks awful. She's shaking. She's not able to hold a glass of water without almost spilling it due to shaking so much. I'm really concerned about her. I say I'll stay with her. She's phoned her dad. She's phoned her husband. Both of which are on the way over. Of course, the last place I need to be seen at that point is at hers. So I have to leave. I'm extremely worried. I ask her to keep us updated, which she does. On the night time, I get a message from her saying they think it's a stroke. Now, this woman is younger than me. At this point, I'm 29. She is, I believe, 24, 25. Ooh, I probably shouldn't know my age. 24, 25, so obviously that's a really young age for somebody to have a stroke. I phone one of my really good friends, who at this point is kind of living over in Newcastle. She says to me, "Look, I'll come round. I know you would do the same for me." She comes around, we go for a bit of a walk. I get a phone call from AJ on this walk. She tells us that it's an anxiety attack. It's not being a stroke. That now, because of this, and obviously because of the way that our dad had been going on, that she now doesn't think we can be together, but she still wants to be my friend. I'm like, "Okay, do you want us to come see you?" "No, no, I'm by myself." "Fine." I explain to her who I'm with. We're then sitting in my mate's car, and I get a phone call from a sister, and she says, "Oh, have you heard about AJ?" Obviously, she didn't call her AJ, she called her a real name, which I'm not going to drop on this. She called her by a real name. And I was like, yeah, it's awful. And she's like, "Oh, she thinks it's caused by, the drama of this other bloke." And I says, "What do you mean this other bloke?" So at this point, she's told her sister that she's kissed another guy. And that's all she's told her, that she's kissed somebody else. And then her sister says, "But she said she still wants to make it work with blank being her husband."
So at this point, I'm a bit pissed off because AJ's allegedly said to her sister that she wants to make up with him, despite us saying she doesn't want to be with him, and she's now classifying herself as single. Yeah, I know. Still living with him. Single. I didn't get it either. So I phone AJ and I'm like, look, I've just had your sister on the phone. She said that you want to make it work with him. Like, she says it's not true. I at this point, because I'm smart, I've got AJ on loudspeaker. So my friend in question, who was in the car with me, she hears all of this. She says no. She goes, that's not fucking true. Why the fuck is she getting involved in our business? Why is she making shit up for? She said she should throw herself in front of a fucking bus. Last year, when she tried killing herself, I wish she was successful. Now, this is somebody saying that about their own sister, just to put this into perspective. And I'm telling you this because now AJ and her sister are really close. Obviously, they're both not particularly nice people for the way our sister treated me, and then for the way AJ was talking about her sister. So yeah, like I say, I have living proof in that in the form of another person who heard all of this, who again has no reason to lie. She at this point had nothing against AJ, nothing whatsoever, no reason to lie. The next couple of weeks or so go by. I'm meant to be seeing. I'm just going to go in my calendar because I want to get the date right of this, because this is an important date. It is May 21st. It is a Tuesday. Now, she usually goes to her sister's on a Tuesday, our other sister, because there is a third one. She usually goes to our other sister's on a Tuesday. On this Tuesday, she's not going to her sister's. She's made plans to see me in the afternoon, and seeing her granddad in the morning. I get a phone call pretty early in the morning from her saying, look, if my sister asks you, you're not seeing AJ today. You're seeing me. I've told her you're seeing me later this afternoon. She's asked us if I want to go down to the Metro Centre with her this morning. Do you want to come with her? So a three-way phone call then happens between me, AJ, and AJ's sister. because like obviously it's closer for a toilet for her, and it's not nice having to hold anything in, you know. I don't know if this recording has skipped off there because I've closed the app down accidentally, so I do apologise for a little bit if that's missed out. She goes to the toilet on the quayside. We have a few drinks there. We have 5 doubles each again. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff said. She says to us that it's because of her dad and her granda. She finally admits this, that she said we couldn't be together. That if anything was to happen to our granda, so that then she wouldn't have to disappoint him, that we would be together. That even though she's classed herself as single, she didn't want to get back with her husband. She didn't want to end up with anybody else because she couldn't imagine anybody else making her as happy as I make her. So after these drinks, we go and there's a drink called Tiki Fire. It's a brand of Old J rum, which is 75.5% proof. Anybody I'm out drinking with, it's never done a shot at Tiki Fire. I like to buy them a Tiki Fire because it's fucking awful. It's really strong. I like seeing people's reactions because I'm a dick. So we go into the Head of Steam on the quayside, where is the only place I know around that sells Tiki Fire, at least on the quayside. So we go in there, I order 2 shots of Tiki Fire. It's literally just going to be a shot each, and then boom, out the door. So I order the Tiki Fire, she goes to the toilet, comes back, we drink the Tiki Fire, I go to the toilet, and I come back. And now, a barman in the Head of Steam on the quayside went to school with me. He was in the year below me. Which all of my mates know him as well. He knows me pretty well. So he was chatting to us. He was asking if me and AJ were together. Funny enough, we both at the exact same time replied with "not yet," which we then both laughed about. Again, he can be proof for all of this, because he was there. He witnessed it. She then decides to quite loudly tell him and the rest of the Head of Steam about the time she sucked my dick. So she's confessed now to other people about what she's done. It's not me spreading it around, it is her, just to point that out. I've only told 2 or 3 of my close friends, which again, they were already aware stuff was happening because they were in Rise with work, etc. They had been sent a picture of we're in bed together. You know, like they were fully aware stuff was going on. So we leave the Head of Steam. At that point, we're just talking about that it's time to leave. We get the bus to the Metro Centre. She's pretty drunk. Starts to sober up in the Metro Centre. We then kiss in the Metro Centre. It's the first time in maybe about 3 weeks or so that we've kissed. We kiss in the Metro Centre. She then bumps into a dad's friend's daughter. At this point, she seems to snap and just completely go crazy, go off the rails. I don't know why. As I'll be revealed in a minute, I never get an answer for this. She starts acting really weird, like over the top drunk, throwing herself on the floor and that. At this point, we're in the bus station, we're in the lift, going from the top floor to the bottom floor of the bus station. As the lift doors are closing, she tells our dad's daughter's friend, who I believe is only about 15, 16, that she's going to have sex with me in the lift. That clearly doesn't happen, just so we're clear. She then decides she's going to get on a bus with this girl and go and see this girl's mom, who she's mates with. That girl's mom is a woman we were with in McDonald's when she bent over the table and said, "If I bend over this table now, how hard would you fuckers?" Again, just to put things into perspective, I'm pretty annoyed from the way she's went on, throwing herself on the floor. She's acting like an idiot. She'd been fine up to that point. Seeing this girl seemed to trigger something. She then gets on the bus with this girl. I walk home.
I then get a phone call from my sister to say that our dad wasn't happy because she was out. At this point, it's 9 o'clock at night, and she's still got the Ben with her. She's drunk. I'm apparently getting the blame from my dad for this. My sister even defended me at this point and said that David wouldn't have been pouring the drinks down her. Like, it was obviously her choice to drink, which again is absolutely true. She then says, I've messaged her, I've had no response from AJ. My sister then tells me, she's on her way home in a taxi. And I'm like, good, thank you. I hang up because I want to obviously talk to AJ before she gets home to kind of ask why she's done what she's done during the day, why she hasn't responded to my message. Again, this is late on Tuesday the 21st of May. I go around to hers as the taxi's pulling up. I see her getting out of the taxi. I ask her if she's got a couple of minutes. She says no. I say, okay, I don't need a couple of minutes. Do you have 30 seconds? She says no. She says, I'm done. I reply, done with what? She says, I'm done. She goes home. I don't really know at this point what's happened. The next day, I try ringing her. After a couple of rings, my phone gets sent a voicemail. I try texting her a few times over the course of the next few weeks. I never hear anything back. It's clear that she, not only are we not together anymore, that she doesn't want to be my friend at this point. Again, I've done nothing. I don't know what had happened. I was pretty upset about it. There was never an explanation given. To this day, this has been recorded early morning on October 17th, 18th. I have not really heard from her or seen much of her. The Friday that she stops talking to her, I bump into her in the Metro Centre, I bump into her in Wickham. I don't speak to her, I make no effort to speak to her. There is a pretty heartbreaking moment on where we're both on the same bus coming back from the Metro Centre. She sat near the front for the buggy bit. I'm sat midway up the bus. The buggy's facing me. Our daughter can see us. Our daughter got into the habit of calling me dad because I believe she was at this point seeing me more than she was seeing her dad because I'd spent so much time with her mum. So she's shouting dad on the bus. I can't go over. Because our mum doesn't want to speak to us, you know, it's pretty heavy shit, to be honest. I get off the bus, she doesn't, but that's it, stops, and she purposely obviously waited for the next stop to avoid speaking to us, which I get, but we live across the road, I'm going to see her about, you know, the place that I was going to go to work, it was going to be, it's her local, she shops there, as does he, you know, he being her husband, again, pronouns pal. So I don't really hear from her. I eventually start work in my local branch. She comes in, doesn't speak to us, and leaves. So I send her a message saying, look, it's clear that I'm in Wickham now. I don't want to make things awkward for you. All I want is a chance to talk so I can understand why we won't speak to us anymore. I'll even give you my work hours. So you can come in around me. You don't have to come in when I'm here. You don't have to see us. You know, yeah, if that's what you want, you don't have to speak to us. So I'm trying to be really accommodating and trying to make things as easy as I can for her. because, believe it or not, I can be a nice guy. Again, I get no response. At this point, a guy comes in the shop who may or may not be our cousin, who she used to spend quite a bit of time with before she'd pissed him off, so then he'd allegedly blocked our phone number. He comes in the shop and he's telling us that that she'd admitted to him about sucking my dick. This was, however, when we were still friendly, when we were still speaking. On this day, he comes in, he says, "Oh, I seen her the other day. I was talking to her. She denied everything." And I was like, "Denied everything? But she told you what happened between her?" He's like, "Yeah, I know. But she's now denied everything." So, not only had she admitted to him what she'd done, she was then trying to deny it, which is weird. I then hear from him that she's told him, so God knows how many other people she's telling us, that I'm harassing her, that I'm turning up at her house uninvited, none of which is true, that I'm only working in my local branch to get close to her, again, which is not true, which is why during the head of steam part of the story, I made a point of saying that, I know I brought up about me going to Wickham. That was also brought up in the head of steam, in front of my mate that works there, so he can also back this up, that I was talking about going to Wickham. So the Wickham thing came up when we were friendly. It was not something that came up afterwards. I'm not there to get close to her again. That gets back to my boss, to my boss's boss, however, that can seriously affect me. You know, like, this isn't childish little lies. Like, this is something that can really fuck up a person's life, you know, like saying that I'm harassing somebody. It's not a nice lie to have told. So obviously I'm pretty pissed off, which is the reasoning for this today. Since this, our sister has also stopped speaking to us, refused to hear my side of the story, has told people that I'm a liar, that what happened is not true. It is true, every word of it, everything I've said on here is true. Like I say, I don't delete messages, I keep everything. You know, AJ was aware of this. She must know that I've got the proof. I don't know why she would try to lie about it. I mean, I do know why. The fact is, at least in my mind, she's trying to save her marriage. She'd obviously, earlier on in the story, I point out that she says that she told her husband everything. I don't believe that's true. If she had told her husband everything, like I say, I think his reaction would have been a lot worse. And if she had told him everything, why would she lie to her sister and tell her sister that it was just a kiss? She would tell her sister everything as well. So our husband clearly doesn't know the truth, which is why I'm not naming names on this this thing I'm recording over a podcast app. I don't want to call it a podcast because it's not that. It's my story, is all it is. Like I say, I'm telling my side of the story because I've been accused of harassment, apparently. Like I say, if you hadn't known the full story, there was no reason for her to lie to anybody else or to lie to other people or to try to lie to people that she's already told the truth to, which is the most messed up part. I've also heard that she was debating going to the police because I was turning up at her back gate or turning up at her house. Again, that's not true. So I will say this now. Please, if you can hear this, AJ, go to the police. Because all that's going to happen is you will be exposed as a liar. I know you've got no intention of going to the police because you will be exposed. Because like I say, I have all the proof.
Obviously, I heard that she was debating going to the police, which is why I spoke to one of my friends that works for the police, told them the whole story, told them about all the proof that I had, including explicit pictures of her, messages, etc. I asked my friend that works for the police, should I delete this stuff? I was told no. I was also told her about the lies that were going around about us. She says, if you went to the police about these lies, the police wouldn't do anything. Which I find weird, because it's technically fucking slander, but okay. She was like, keep all the proof you've got in case AJ contacts the police. And then if she does, you have all the proof to get yourself out of it. You know, to get yourself out of any bother. It's all going to come back on her. She'll be exposed, you know. So like I say, the threat was there about her going to the police. I don't believe she's got any intention, because she will be exposed. Obviously, it's not nice for me to hear that somebody I once loved. It was threatening me with this sort of shit when it's not true. Everything that I've just told you is the truth. That's the reason that I've said this today. It's a reason for my story, because I've been made to essentially look like a piece of shit, which anyone that knows me knows I'm, unless you piss me off, I can be the nicest guy in the world. I'll do anything for anybody. I'd give people that I care about the shirt off my back, you know. I can be brutal, yes, I can be overly honest at times, as I've probably been on this story today, but again, I've had to be, because of the accusations that were thrown my way. I've had to talk, I've had to get it off my chest. This is not meant to be a threat of any kind. It's simply my story. All I'm asking is that these lies stop. If these lies do not stop, what will happen is, I will reveal the name of the person, the AJ's true identity. I will also, I won't post any pictures because I'm not that stupid. I will take screenshots of the messages that she sent to me. And I will upload all of these along with the recording on Facebook as a way to prove to everybody that I'm telling the truth. Because as I've said before, I don't like having my honesty or my integrity taken into account, taken into question. I'm extremely honest. I've been honest to the point of where I've gotten myself in trouble about various things, like stuff at work, etc. I don't see the point in lying. If you fuck up, you be a man, you own up. You own up, I've made a mistake, I fucked up. Take your punishment, move on. You don't try and lie about it. You don't ignore people. It's not the way a man behaves. It's not the way a person should behave. Yeah, I've probably missed a lot out. Like I say, this story covers 5 months, a bit more if you count the stuff to do with that sister. Apologies if this offends or upsets anybody. Again, it's not my intention. I would not have had to do this if I didn't hear about the lies going around about me. If AJ could have just told the truth, owned up what she and admitted what she'd done, or at least to try to save her marriage, come up with a lie that doesn't make me look bad, you know. There can be consequences for that to do with, like, I believe they're called defamation lawsuits. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know the correct term, but if it continues, if I hear of any more, like I say, I will expose the whole story over social media. including the names of the people involved. Apologies, it's been so long, it's been almost 2 hours. I'm going to cut it off right now. For those of you that have listened, apologies again for being so long. Thank you for listening. It's real life. You know, crazy shit. I'm out. Nothing else to say. Enjoy your burrito, I guess.